Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is my friend Cynthia Carell. She lives in Nassau County, and she's going to talk about the special election in April to replace Dean Stellos. So, Cynthia, what's going on Long Island?
As you know, Dean Stellos resigned his office, or had to resign his office, was expelled from his office in connection with being found guilty of federal felonies. The governor set the special election date to be the same as the date for the presidential primary election, which is April 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats are running a former federal prosecutor named Todd Kominsky. And Todd Kominsky is currently running on a good government platform.
And he's an assemblyman now.
Yes, he's an assemblyman now, recently elected. And as I said, he's running on an anti-corruption platform and on a Clean Up Albany platform.
Okay.
The man running against him is a man named Chris McGrath, who is a former president of the Nassau County Bar Association. I actually know Chris because I was an active member of the Nassau County Bar Association, and he is a very, very, very nice man. He has never run for political office before, and I think they chose him because he's not part of the GOP machine, so he doesn't have a whole bunch of skeletons in the closet.
Mm-hmm. So, from your observations, who do you think, who's gaining ground at this point?
I think Kominsky is for two reasons. Chris McGrath doesn't have any name recognition outside of the legal profession. He hasn't been very active, you know, in community things, so very few people know who he is. Kominsky, by virtue of having been elected to the Assembly, has some name recognition. There's also something else that I think helps us, in that we still have an active race going on in the Democratic presidential primary, and that should drive lots of Democrats to the polls. A high Democratic turnout, good for Kominsky.
But at the same time, I think that the Republican race, and, you know, I think basically it'll be between Cruz and Donald Trump. And I think that's going to drive a whole lot of people to the polls in April. So I think that'll be a big factor.
I don't see Cruz putting a lot of time or effort into New York since it's Trump's home state.
Okay.
I don't see Cruz doing some massive grassroots get-out-the-vote effort. So I think his campaign would be more likely to just concede New York to Trump. And if that's the case, without somebody doing what's called the poll, which is pulling people out of their houses to get them to the poll, I think Republican turnout could be pressed because New Yorkers will assume that Donald has it in the bag. I think that Mondello, who is the GOP chairman in Nassau, has broken ranks with the rest of the party to endorse Trump. I think, but don't know, that may be a bid on his part to get some help from the Trump people with GOTV, but I don't know that. I'm just guessing.
Okay. Okay. So as far as the Republicans are concerned, do you think that whoever goes out and votes for Trump will have a trickle-down effect for the Republican candidate for Stellos' seat?
I think maybe. And the reason is, at least among the Trump supporters that I know in Nassau, The reason why they are Trump supporters is their belief that the Republican Party, both at the county, state, and federal levels, is inherently corrupt, and that they see Donald Trump as their best hope for an independent person who's not dependent on this web of interrelationships, because he's an outsider. So very much the GOP voter, at least in my little part of Nassau County, the GOP Trump voter is actually a reform voter. And since the GOP chose to run a man who doesn't have ties to the party, a reform voter might find Chris McGrath attractive if they knew who he was.
Right.
The problem with McGrath is nobody's heard of him outside of the Bar Association.
Right.
So they might not know that McGrath unconnected.
Now, whoever wins this primary will hold the balance. Will hold the balance of power. If Comiskey wins, then the majority will go into the Republican. In the Democratic side. Okay.
Right.
So, therefore, on the state level, what are the Republicans doing for their candidate, and what are the Democrats doing for their candidate?
At the state level, other than Andrew Cuomo agreeing after a lot of pressure, both here and for the special election upstate, to tie the special election date for these two seats into the presidential primary date. And it's my understanding is it took a lot of pressure from county chairs to make that happen. I don't see anything coming from this. I have yet to see anything coming from the state party. Now, I just traded some emails this morning with Nassau County's liaison to the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee relating to, you know, ramping up to do GOTV and election monitoring and all that stuff for the 19th. So that's getting kick-started this week.
Mm-hmm.
We will see what the court does.
What about the Senate Democrats meeting Tanaris and Andrea?
Well, as I said, I just literally this morning traded some emails with Nassau's liaison to that committee.
Okay.
And we will see what the committee does.
Now, what do you think?
How much resources, how much effort, how much FaceTime, whatever, they're willing to donate to this. Because remember, it's only the two seats. So in theory, they should have lots of capacity and be sending, you know, state senators into the district to help them campaign, should be sending resources, should be sending organizers. I don't know what they're going to do. I just got the email this morning.
What about the Republicans? What are they doing to help Mr. McGrath?
Well, they don't tell me that.
Well, yeah.
Since I'm on Team Dem. But I can tell you that much of the Republican Party in Nassau is in complete disarray right now. And the reason is there are substantial federal investigations going on into Republicans in the town of Oyster Bay. And one of those Republicans is already under indictment. He is a deputy chair of the county committee.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a DA's investigation going on of contracting practices from the county to certain select vendors, some of whom are also connected to this other scandal in Oyster Bay. Plus, there's a deputy county executive who runs a political club in Oyster Bay, and there's an investigation of him and allegations that donations have to be made to his political club, which gets unbelievable amounts of money, as part of a pay-to-play scheme. So there's three separate orbits of investigations happening simultaneously, and most of the people who would normally be doing something to help protect that seat are too busy being lawyered up and trying to avoid FBI interviews.
Now, if you remember back in 2009, when the Democrats had the majority in the state Senate, for a short period of time, and then Patriot Spotter pulled, you know, a couple of things, and it was not pretty. It was a little coup, and the majority was up in the air. Okay, now, fast forward to today. In the event that Comiskey wins, where do you see Jeff Klein in all of this?
I don't know. And the reason I don't know is I've never had a good sense that I understood how Jeff Klein thinks. Like, some people, you know how their mind works. I don't understand how his mind works. So it's a little hard to predict for him. But the reality is, if they don't need him to make up the majority, he loses all of his power. So the time to strike a deal is when they still need him.
Okay. Which is right now.
Yep. So
okay.
his inflection moment would be if we won this race.
Okay. Now,
because after that, if momentum, and there is a good chance of that, as other Senate seats down here come up for re-election, because the party is in such disarray that they won't be able to do what they're doing effectively, or because other people will be resigning, there's a chance for Democratic momentum. If that happens, he loses all of his leverage.
Now, if there is a one-seat difference come April 19th, do you think that in November the Democrats will still be able to hold that majority?
I think it depends on several things. One, who the presidential nominee is, and whether that nominee is winning, and whether lots of Democrats are coming out enthusiastically to vote for that nominee. Two, whether that nominee is a person who's going to put some effort into down market races.
So
one of the things that, and I will confess up front, I am Team Bernie, but one of the things I found very interesting about the Sanders campaign is a big focus of that campaign is not just find Bernie voters and get Bernie voters out to vote, which is the normal conventional wisdom. A huge feature of that campaign in all 50 states, and it kind of reminds me of when Howard Dean was first chairman of the DNC with the 50-state program. A huge feature of the Sanders campaign has voter registration. All 50 states, people are out on the ground registering voters. Those voters pay dividends in the form of votes and winning elections to the Democratic Party for decades to come, because most of the people that are being registered are on college campuses. These are people who never thought that their vote mattered. I went and did a registration drive on a college campus on Thursday. These kids all came and thanked me. I tried to do it online. I couldn't do it. I meant to do it, and then I forgot. Oh, my God, did I miss the deadline? So many people just coming up to me, you brought registration forms? Thank you. In droves. I spent 3 hours with 50 kids in 3 hours.
That's a good point that you're bringing up.
Right.
Why do
so
you,
all those new voters,
why
all those
do you
new
think,
voters, they're enthused and they come out, we win a lot of Senate seats. We could win a lot of seats, period.
Okay. Why do you think so many young people are so attracted to Bernie Sanders? What is their reason for the what's the reason for the attraction?
The ones I heard on campus the other day are that he's anti-war, that he is not part of the corrupt machine, that he is willing to put Wall Street people in prison, that he wants to make Social Security stronger. And I heard a lot of, he's been consistent his whole career. He didn't just, he's not saying things because some focus group or some polling tells him it's popular. He's saying the things he's been saying for 30 years. And that to me is really interesting. He's seen as authentic.
Now, let's just say Donald Trump is the Republican candidate for president, and Hillary Clinton is the, Donald is the Republican candidate, and Hillary is the Democratic candidate. You know, I've had many discussions with Bill Samuels about, you know, winning and keeping the state Senate. His rationale is, you know, Hillary Clinton's going to have coattails in November. But at the same time, I think that Donald Trump will have coattails for the Republicans. What do you think?
I think Hillary Clinton, because remember, if I'm registering college students, these are people who did not register when they got their driver's licenses, did not register when they turned 18. That means they affirmatively chose not to register when they had the opportunity, but now suddenly want to register. So they are Bernie-specific registrants. Her job, should she become the nominee, is to convert those people from Bernie supporters to supporters of the Democratic ticket. They're not generic Democrats. They're Bernie-crats. So she needs to make the sale to those people so that they will come out and vote in November. The only way to make that sale is to aggressively grasp campaign in New York. I don't know if she will do that because she knows New York will go blue. New York always votes blue. She knows she's going to win the state. I don't know if she will care enough to put time, money, energy, attention into New York when she knows that she will get those electoral college votes anyway. So when people say she will have coattails, I don't see where that comes from because she's not running a grassroots campaign.
Okay. What about Trump?
The entire way Bernie's whole campaign, regardless of the color of the state, works, they're all being run as grassroots campaigns. So that doesn't stop just because he knows he'll get the state. It's an entirely different approach to campaigning.
So my question is, if Hillary is the nominee, if Hillary is the nominee and she does not make an effort to do a lot in New York, then she it's bad for the Democratic majority in the state Senate. Would you agree?
No, let me refine that a little. Hillary could make the sale without running a grassroots campaign. There's a lot of ways she could make the sale and have people be enthused about having a president from New York. And it doesn't necessarily have to be by running a grassroots campaign. But Bernie is only running a grassroots campaign. That's his whole strategy, so we know he will do a lot in New York because that's the strategy. Hillary could make the sale in terms of Hillary and have enthusiastic support, and as long as they're in the voting booth anyway, they tick off the box all the way down. That's entirely possible, but it's not a given yet because we don't know what she's going to do, and we don't know if she's going to make the sale. And if all the college kids are, you know, heartbroken and stay home in November, then the down ticket is screwed.
Okay, now the election is on April 19th.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give the Democrats a 2 month majority in the state Senate,
right,
until the session is over.
Mm-hmm.
In those 2 months, do you anticipate a lot of progressive legislation being passed?
Depends on Jeff Klein, doesn't it? That's why I say this is his inflection point. This is his moment of greatest influence. I would say I anticipate whatever legislation Jeff Klein wants passed getting passed.
But you know, the thing that astounds me is he's a self-appointed leader. Nobody
mm-hmm.
put him there. He appointed himself. And everybody
yep.
just fell in line, which is absolutely astounding. So,
yep.
in a few minutes...
Thing, Jeff Klein's rationale for why it's okay that he self-appointed himself was that he was going to be able to force progressive legislation through by virtue of his influence over the Republicans. If we have a Democratic majority and the opportunity to pass all kinds of progressive legislation and he doesn't make that happen, then he's going to expose himself as a fraud. Think about it.
Yes, I understand that. But he's been called names before. It's not like that's a new concept, you know?
No, but
and
I think the press might turn on him.
Okay. In the final minutes we have left, Cynthia, prediction.
I'm sorry, what?
Predictions for April 19th.
I think Kaminsky will take it because I think that there will be more of a contest between the Democrats at the presidential level than there will be between the Republicans, because I really don't see Cruz or Kasich putting a lot of money into the state. So I think that's good for Kaminsky. So I actually think that he is not in a bad place. His campaign manager is Aaron Hecht, who is a very, very good campaign manager, who is a very organized guy. So I'm kind of optimistic about that race.
Great. Now, you know, you're saying that you believe Kaminsky would win.
Yes.
Throughout the past several years, as well as back in the 80s and early 90s, Mario Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo has not done very much. Did not do very much to have a majority of Democrats in the state Senate. In the event that Kaminsky wins, although you can't, you know, go into anybody's mind like I can, what do you think Cuomo will think about it all?
I don't know, because it's true. He has not done much to help the state Senate. He doesn't show Andrea Stewart Cousins, I think, anywhere near the level of respect she deserves.
Right.
I don't know. I think he has his business to play off the Democrats and Republicans against each other. Plus,
mm-hmm.
reasons that I have never understood, he's like BFF with the county executive here, Mangano, who is a Republican, and he just goes out of his way to bolster Mangano, to prop up Mangano, to give Sandy Superfund money to Mangano to use as like a little slush fund. I never understood that.
Mm-hmm.
So he did almost next to nothing when in the last county executive's race to help Tom Suozzi. He finally, like, not just the Nassau County and Suffolk County chairs were complaining, but, like, county chairs all up and down the Hudson Valley were like, what are you doing? So he finally came down at the 11th hour and made a speech that lasted about 45 minutes where he mentioned the name Swazi twice. All he did was talk about his own accomplishments.
But Swazi and Cuomo have a long history of not really liking each other.
That's actually not true. When Tom Swazi ran in 2001, Mario came to Glen Cove and made a commercial for him. When Mario ran for president, Tom Swazi was the first person in New York State politics to declare for him. Swazi has been very supportive of the Cuomo family, and he has a good relationship with Mario. I don't know what the beef is with Andy.
Okay.
So I don't know what it's all about. Anyway.
So, April 19th is just around the corner, so if you have any ideas and whatever, let me know, and I'd love to have you back on Focus on Albany.
Yeah, and I'd like to leave everybody with one last thought. If you are not yet registered to vote, you must get your voter registration form to the Board of Elections by March 25th. Don't put it in the mail on March 25th. Get it to the board in their hands by March 25th. And you can vote on April 9th.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. You've been listening to Cynthia Carell. We've been talking about the special election in Nassau County for the Stella seat. If you like Focus on Albany, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And if you have any comments, go to the hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Cynthia, have a good day, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Great. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.